This is Central Time. Puerto Rico has been hit by two major hurricanes so far this season, Hurricane Irma 3 weeks ago and, more devastatingly, Hurricane Maria last week. The entire territory is still without power, and food, water, and fuel are in short supply.
President Trump declared the American territory a disaster area last week. Here's Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello on CNN yesterday.
There will be a humanitarian crisis. There will be massive exodus to the United States. So I call upon Congress to take action, to make their wishes, their solidarity at this moment be something tangible, that it's a bill that actually answers to our needs right now.
Charles Venator Santiago is an associate professor with a joint appointment in political science and El Instituto Latina, Caribbean, and Latin American Studies Institute at the University of Connecticut. Charles, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, based on what you're hearing from people there, what is happening right now in Puerto Rico?
There's a major crisis in terms of there's no electricity or relative little electricity. No access to water, it's hard to drive, little access to gasoline. People are hungry and thirsty, and they can't get out. It's almost impossible to get out the island, to leave the island.
I understand you were scheduled to go down to Puerto Rico over the weekend. What ended up happening?
So my mother ran out of supplies on Friday, food and water, and I was scheduled to pick her up on Sunday or to go pick her up and bring her, but my flights were canceled. So I've been trying to negotiate how to bring her up to the United States, and we're getting close.
And as I understand it, the infrastructure there has taken such a hard hit, things like ports and roads, that in itself is making it hard to get supplies to the people who need them.
Yes, the hurricane knocked out a lot of cable lines and posts, so all around the island. So there are parts of the island that are cut off, or neighborhoods that are completely cut off. And the work teams are working around the clock to clear the land. But in the process, they're just basically clearing light posts and cable lines and electric power lines just to make room to travel. Plus, gas has been a problem. Gasoline has been a problem. Access to gasoline has been a problem.
Of course, as an island, Puerto Rico relies on things like a lot of their food, I understand it, and things like fuel being shipped in. So is that part of the problem, that those supplies are slow in coming?
There's some of that. Part of the problem is that the Merchant Marine Act, or the Jones Act, still makes it hard. Any goods that are brought into the island have to go through a U.S. flagship. And the Trump administration and Homeland Security refuses to give a waiver, a humanitarian waiver. So on the one hand, it's hard to deliver goods to the island. And because of all the infrastructure destruction, it's hard to deliver the goods that are available on the island.
Are you seeing any signs, any positive developments that significant help is getting through to the people who need it the most?
Not proportionate to the need. There are, I mean, some airlines began to fly. Those airlines that are, some are price gouging. United Airlines is making a pile of money at the expense of the misery of Puerto Ricans. But other airlines like Delta began to give restricted flights. Part of the challenge is that we have other alternatives to move people out. The U.S. Army could send C-130s and load them up with people, or cruise ships could go pick up people in Puerto Rico, and they're refusing to do it. So some flights are starting to leave, but the misery is far outpacing the willingness of the U.S. government to remove or allow U.S. citizens to travel. And again, what people need to understand, unlike Houston and Florida, people can't get in a car and drive somewhere else. They're landlocked, and they can't leave.
Now, Puerto Rico is an American territory, but do you see it being treated the way, say, Texas and Florida were, the sense of urgency that an American state has gotten?
Not at all. And it's important to be fair, FEMA is stretched out with responses in Texas and Florida, so we understand that. But there are other alternatives that the administration refuses to use. Again, using the military to help out, or contracting planes to go and move people out who are willing and able to leave the island to be with their relatives.
We just heard the governor of Puerto Rico asking for a bill from Congress. What kind of things that could Congress do, and maybe quickly, I guess, that might make a difference?
They can give a waiver for the Jones Act, Merchant Marine Act, so that supplies can arrive in the island, they can declare a disaster in such a way that they can provide money and resources. They can send the Army Corps of Engineers, or at least more people, to help clear up and manage logistics. The government can approve funding to begin repairs. Federal government, Congress can approve funding to begin repairs. That's commensurate to the damage that's caused in the island.
We've seen numbers, you know, Puerto Rico's population is bigger than something like the smallest five or six American states put together. If we don't see more of a response, what are you worried might happen there?
So Puerto Rico has more population than 22 states of the Union. Population is comparable to Connecticut right now. If there's no response, as soon as people can leave, they'll start traveling to the United States to be with relatives. There are more Puerto Ricans living in the mainland than in the island, and there's a strong connection. Those that can leave, there are two populations that are stranded in the island, immigrants from the smaller Caribbean islands and poor people who lost everything. So they're going to be stuck in shelters and in basic terrible living conditions. But there'll be a lot more migration as soon as they're able to travel and they can afford to travel. And the price gouging by the airlines in the United States is ridiculous, insane, inhumane.
We're talking to Charles Venator Santiago from the University of Connecticut, looking at Puerto Rico in the aftermath of two hurricanes.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have connections to Puerto Rico? Do you know someone who's volunteered to go down and help the American territory recover from these hurricanes? You can call in now at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Charles Venator Santiago is with us from the University of Connecticut, and we're looking at the latest news from Puerto Rico and the American territory's recovery efforts after two major hurricanes.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. Do you have connections to the island, family or friends there? Have you been able to reach them? Have you heard from them? What are you hearing? If you're from Puerto Rico, what are you seeing? What's your reaction to this ongoing story? Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll go right to the callers and Angel in Madison. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was telling the person I was speaking to, this is a very important subject we speak of. My mother lives in Arecibo. I received one phone call from her. She has satellite telephone. She's having trouble to be able to charge her battery, but the dire situation there is she's crying. My father, he's buried on her land. It's very common there in Puerto Rico. His grave is risen up. Water was everywhere. She's crying. She has no house left. She tells me there's no food. There's no water. There's babies that are sick that can't get medicine. We need to do something. We need the government to know these are Americans. That they need to be treated as so and be giving just as much as Florida and Texas is giving. And they need more because they are so far away. It is harder for them to get help. They should, in a way, get better treatment almost because it is so much harder for them.
Thank you so much for calling, and good luck to your mother and other family in Puerto Rico. So like you, Charles, his mom is there. He's worried about her. This is a story for a lot of people of Puerto Rican origin here in the United States, a lot of fear and worry about what's going on back with their family.
I have a similar story, and my family has resources, but a lot of people did not prepare. They didn't think this was going to be such a devastating hurricane. So in my case, my mother ran out of food and water by Friday, and she was dehydrated by Saturday, and it's Wednesday now. But that's the common story in folks who are staying in their homes. The folks in the shelters and the migrants are having an even tougher time in the shelters and in the other camps.
Thanks for that call. And again, good luck to your family, Angel. I wanted to ask, Charles, when we've heard about Puerto Rico in the news over the last couple of years, it's about debt, bankruptcy, what people have called an austerity government with lots of cutbacks to services and worries about infrastructure. How did that affect the impact of the hurricane and the recovery in Puerto Rico?
So Puerto Rico has a debt hovering of around $150 billion, closer to $200 if you count the actual debt. And Congress imposed a fiscal control board last summer that impose austerity measures, and by their own words, they're following the Kansas model, even though the Kansas model failed and the Greece model failed. By their own measures, the Puerto Rican economy is going to start growing in about 10 years. Now, the expectation by the Trump administration, and I'm not sure the rest of the government, is that the United States, is that Puerto Rico is going to share a debt of the burden, or a burden of the debt in rebuilding the island. The problem is that Puerto Rico just doesn't have the resources. And just to give you some context, according to local officials, just to turn on the lights in the island is going to cost about $2 billion. The Puerto Rico Emergency Relief Fund is $15 million. So it's not clear who's going to, you know, help the island if the U.S. government refuses to help the island.
Let's go to another caller now with Roisin in McFarland. Roisin, hi.
Hi.
Oh, what did you want to tell us about?
Well, I have a minister, an ordained minister within our same, you know, congregation throughout the world. And I'm very upset with how our country is treating a protectorate. I mean, I'm sure that we would love to use them for other things, but when it comes for us to try, it seems that when it comes for our government to support the places that we have taken on, it just always falls through. And that really upsets me. I did hear from another ordained minister that she is alive. She can't get to her home, so that's about all I know.
Roisin, thanks a lot for calling in. Charles, I know this is looking ahead a bit, but as Puerto Rico recovers, can we do this in a way that helps build resilience, helps rebuild the economy and the infrastructure so that Puerto Rico is ready if, God forbid, another hurricane like this comes through?
Yes. There is the it's just expensive. Just to give you a basic sense, the basic infrastructure, according to some government officials, rebuilding the roads is going to cost about $1 billion. Putting an actual power plant that's grid that's going to work is going to cost anywhere from $6 to $10 billion. This is a moment where the U.S. government can rebuild the island in such a way that it can withstand some of this. The problem is that legally, because Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory, the United States is not bound or required to provide parity of resources for Puerto Rico. In fact, the Supreme Court continues to affirm the idea that it's legal to discriminate against Puerto Rico and the other territories, Virgin Islands and Guam, American Samoa, and Mariana Islands. As late as 2016, Justice Elena Kagan affirmed that logic, and Congress affirmed it in PROMESA. So, yes, the U.S., there's just no willpower by the federal government to address the needs of not just Puerto Rico, but the other four territories that belong to the United States.
We'll leave it there for now. Charles, thanks, and good luck to your mom and everybody else connected to you there in Puerto Rico.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Charles Venator Santiago, associate professor with a joint appointment in political science and Latina, Caribbean, and Latin American studies at the University of Connecticut. He joined us to talk about the latest from Puerto Rico.